Blog Talk Radio.
Go for it. Go. Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinions. And if you have an opinion, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And also, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul. How are you?
How are you? We missed you on Saturday.
We're doing a couple laps. I was probably the only person in the city of Philadelphia, probably the whole state of Pennsylvania, who was out there celebrating doing his march down Broad Street at my parade.
What parade are you referring to?
We're world champions, so you know we were happy here. 226.
I forgot. You were a guy who had picked the Lakers, and actually, I was an individual.
We also found out if memory serves. We also found out who knows more about sports.
I guess I have to bow down to a guy who's greater than me. I guess maybe you do know a little bit more than I first thought, or know more than me. And that's me.
Maybe, Paul, because maybe was what you said last Wednesday. I think what you said last Wednesday was we're going to see who knows more about sports. So is it maybe?
Unfortunately, I guess I was wrong. Let's refresh the memory of people who forgot about my prediction. Let's give a listen. That the Boston Celtics will lose tomorrow. But the way I see it, you got to look at it this way. They went through the Cleveland Cavaliers. Record-wise, the best team in basketball. They went through the Orlando Magic. Record-wise, the second-best team in basketball. Now they're in the process, and they're about to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. Record-wise, the third-best team in basketball. Without having... You got that?
Paul, I heard that, and all I kept thinking about is getting my marching shoes back on.
Coming up, I hope you enjoyed your parade. And if
yeah, me, my son, Oliver, behind him, my son Emmett, you know, three people just marching down Broad Street, single file, baby.
And for everybody that I led astray, I'm so sorry. I apologize. But what are you going to do? It's life. And we move on. You lose, and you move on. Well, over this week and these past couple of weeks, I've been hearing a lot of crazy talk. We talked about it on Saturday's show. A lot of crazy talk, this talk that Kobe is better than MJ. And it led me to ask this question and to think about, are we all just really prisoners of the moment? Are we just a slave to the moment? Are we all just getting caught up in the moment? In this day and age of cell phones and iPhones and computers and the way we could just disseminate information so quickly, we get so excited and so amazed by certain things that we just are so quick to say, you know what, that's the greatest thing I ever saw. You know what? That's the best thing I ever saw. It's like, it's funny. It's almost like to me, if I'm watching an Usher video and I'm saying to myself, Usher is a better dancer than another MJ. Yes, Michael Jackson. Or like me going to a club and seeing a girl and saying, she's the best looking person I've ever seen. Or another thing, an individual who's been married 9 times and says each and every time that they have found their soulmate. I mean, come on. That's a prisoner of the moment. And unfortunately, we got a lot of prisoners of the moment right now. We got a lot of people saying that Kobe is better than MJ or will be better than MJ when it's all said and done. I say, please. I say, don't get caught up in the moment. And the question I have for you, Jeremy, and the question I have for others, are you a prisoner of the moment?
Well, I think, you know, and you bring up the best example, which is the MJ-Kobe debate. And, I mean, it's hard, you know, even to think about Kobe and MJ. And one of the things that struck me is we didn't hear a lot about, you know, the real greatest, and that might have been Phil Jackson. You know, we heard when the Yankees won, you know, finally all the accolades given to Rodriguez, and it's just, but 2 years before that, when they were in the, or 3 years before that, when they were in the finals and they were choking, he was one of the worst choke artists ever, and now he's one of the greatest of all time. He, you know, is going to be breaking records and doing this and doing that, and it seems like when you win, you're you know, you are, like you said, you're the flavor of the moment.
And it's like almost like a flavor of the month type deal. I mean, it's crazy. 1 month, vanilla's the greatest flavor to ever live. The next month, you go to chocolate, and then maybe another month is butter pecan. I mean, at some point, and especially now, again, with the way technology is and the way that things can just be splashed across the screens and across the board so quickly, we're so quick to just get
caught. And you have to think, you have to think, you know, you can Google it, you can get it on your iPhone, now you get it on your iPad. Before that, you had your MacBook. We got Wi-Fi. I mean, everybody wants to think today is, you know, the newest day, the greatest day. Kobe is the man, you know, and last year.
Exactly. And all these different things that we're getting caught up in. And it's crazy.
It's also
like become prisoners of the moment. And I spoke about it near the end of the show on Saturday as well. To me, it's like this. I mean, a lot of times we say, okay, you got Michael Jordan, who a lot of people say is the greatest of all time. But then we fail to forget guys like Wilt Chamberlain, guys like Oscar Robertson, guys like Jerry West, guys like Magic Johnson, guys like Larry Bird. All these guys who are top-notch NBA ball players, and we're so quick to just leapfrog those guys and just say, put Michael Jordan on that mantle as the greatest of all time. And we get caught up in the moment when we do those type of things.
It's always the present, and
it's frustrating, and quite frankly, it's a little sad that we're all getting caught up in all these different things and getting off what really is the truth and getting away from what really is the truth, basically, and that is that you can't get caught up in the moment. You can't get caught up in the moment. You can't do it. Don't do
it.
Well,
but part of it, Paul, you're being unfair.
So
you're being a little unfair.
Of the moment. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And also you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com.
But, you know, Paul, I have a question.
You will continue that debate. Who's better?
I have a question, Paul.
Kobe. And are you,
Paul,
a prisoner of the moment? Don't be, please do not be a prisoner of the moment. Also, we're going to talk a little NBA draft today. There's been some reports that there seems to be an internal conflict between Doug Collins and Ed Stefanski for the Philadelphia 76ers. GM Ed Stefanski wants to pick Evan Turner, and Doug Collins supposedly is in favor of picking a kid out of Georgia Tech, Derek Favors. To me, again, it's a no-brainer. You got to go with Evan Turner. You need a two-guard. He's a guy that can come in and score. I mean, he averaged 20 points last year. He's a do-it-all type of player. He's been compared to a Brandon Roy. He's a guy who averaged close to 6 assists and 9 boards a game. So he's a do-it-all type of player. And to me, it's a guy that you have to take. You got to take the two-guard out of Ohio State, and that's Evan Turner. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, I think Evan Turner, with the number 2 pick,
well,
you got to take a guy like
Jeremy
that.
Cacked out his tongue. But, yes, it's a guy that you have to take. And if you're the Sixers, and I hope the Sixers don't mess this up. I hope they don't mess this up and not take this guy. I mean, he's a guy, again, who, I mean, at the two-guard position, Doug Collins has stated at his opening press conference that Iguodala is not a number, is not a two-guard, and he believes that Iguodala is a 3. So with that being said, you have an opening at that two-guard spot. You're not going to put a Willie Green in that two-guard spot. Obviously, he's not a guy who can get the job done. So if you're Doug Collins and if you're the Sixers, you got to take Evan Turner in this spot. And the other guy favors not much of a sure thing as an Evan Turner. He's 6'10". He does have some decent skill sets. Very athletic, explosive guy. But again, he's not a guy that I would say you can take a chance on. And I don't think this team is in a position to take chances. I think this team has to get Evan Turner, and they can't take chances here. And you hope that they don't take that chance and choose Derek Favors or someone else or Cousins out of Kentucky. You hope they will do the right thing and take Evan Turner. You hope, as a Sixers fan, I'm a Sixers fan, I hope that they do the right thing. Let's hope they do the right thing. Please, Sixers, please take Evan Turner. Please take him. You got to take him. You don't have a choice right now. Please take him. So let's get your thoughts on that. Who would you take if you're the Philadelphia 76ers? Who would you take? Are you taking Evan Turner? Are you taking a Derek Favors? Who are you taking? The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And actually, there's a faster way to do it. You can go blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And also, email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com.
So I want to apologize.
You're a prisoner of the moment.
Paul?
Do you get caught up in the moment?
Paul?
Do you say that this is my soulmate 8, 9, 10 times?
Paul?
And that person is 8, 9, 10 different people. Do you say
that
you've seen the best looking person ever 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 16, 20 times? Do you say that? If you do, you're a prisoner of the moment. And you get caught up in the moment. Don't do it to yourself. Don't get caught up in the moment. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. There are consequences for getting caught up in the moment. So don't do it to yourselves. Please, please, please do not do it to yourselves. And actually, another interesting story coming out of the NFL today. Steve Smith, wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, found a way to break his arm in a flag football game. Yep, you heard it. Broke his arm in a flag football game. apparently he's supposed to have surgery. Actually, he had surgery Sunday night. And he told the Panthers that he will be back before training camp. And he expects to be back before training camp. And that's a tough break. And if you're a Panthers fan, it's a tough break for you. So, but anyway, he will, hopefully, if you're a Panthers fan, that he will come back before training camp or before the start of the season, for that matter. But, again, I mean, it's kind of weird that you're breaking your arm and during a flag football game.
Can you hear me now, Paul?
That's pretty amazing.
Paul.
Breaking your arm in a flag football game, and you're a pro, a professional football player, and you're breaking your arm in a flag football game. Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing.
Paul. Paul.
What are you going to do? What
Paul.
Are you going to do?
Paul.
So we got on the table right now. We got.
Paul.
Are you a prisoner of the moment?
Paul.
We got.
Paul, Paul,
Jordan,
Paul.
Kobe. Who's better? Who's the best? Who's going to be the best when it's all said and done? Also, NBA draft. Say. Who should the Sixers take? Should they take Evan Turner? Should they take Derek Favors? Should they take Demetrius Cousins out of Kentucky? Where should they go? Where should they go? Hopefully, they'll do the right thing. Hello, you're go for it.
Yeah.
Hello,
I'm
you're
calling
go for
to see.
It.
I'm calling to see why Terrell Owens is on TV commercial.
Got some technical difficulties there. But we'll continue. Again, the funny thing is it's weird and it's interesting. The funny thing happened in watching the games and the NBA finals I'm talking about and seeing it transpire. I mean the in terms of Kobe Bryant and how in game 7 he went 6-for-24. And I thought after going 6-for-24 in a closeout game, you would figure after doing that would silence the talk of this MJ Kobe stuff. But it didn't. It didn't silence it. And the talk just kept increasing and increasing. You heard it more and more and more. Everybody saying that Kobe will be better when it's all said and done. Will be better than MJ. People will say that he's better than MJ. But I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening. I mean, you're talking about, and I made the argument again, and I made the argument before, and I'll say it again, that when you look at it, Michael Jordan, when he went to all those NBA finals, 6 of them to be exact, he was the number one guy. He was the man, so to speak. He was the guy. Michael Jordan was the best player on that team, and that was his team. Each and every time, all 6 times. And he was 6-0 in the NBA finals. And he didn't even go to a game 7. He didn't even go to a game 7. Never went to a game 7. Never had to go to a game 7. And again, he never had to go to a game 7. And the funny part about it is everybody fails to forget that Michael was a guy who got it done before game 7. It didn't even have to go to game 7. That's how good Michael and those Bulls were. Now, you have Kobe again, 6-for-24. 6-for-24. 6-for-24 in a closeout game.
Oh.
And that's crazy. That's crazy. Oh.
Oh.
You would never expect Kobe Bryant to shoot 6-for-24 in a closeout game. And you definitely, Michael Jordan would definitely not shoot 6-for-24 in a closeout game. No way. No way. There's no way. But somehow, some way, we all get excited. we all get happy, and we all believe in ourselves and in our minds, and we get caught up in the moment and believe that Kobe Bryant will be better than Michael Jordan, or is better than Michael Jordan at this stage. And then it's crazy.
Oh.
It's crazy for us to believe that. It's crazy for us to think that, in my mind. And it's crazy. But somehow we all get caught up in that. And it's unfortunate. But I beg you. I beg you. Please do not get caught up in the moment. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to yourself. Please. Because you start believing some crazy, crazy things. And you might even start doing some crazy things. And don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. Please, don't do that to yourself. And people tend to do that. They tend to get caught up in the moment. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com.
Paul.
That's goforit.gant.
Paul.
@gmail.
Paul.
.com.
Paul.
Have an email message.
Paul.
This is Ambrose, a listener to the show. Ambrose writes, Sixers have to take Evan Turner. Stefanski doesn't have the time to wait for someone to develop. Evan Turner is a known quantity. Favors, Cousins are young with a lot of upside, but unproven. We need an impact player, not another project. We also need to change the culture of the team. We got rid of Sammy Dallenberg, good move. We need to trade AI. I guess he's talking about Andre Iguodala. Below are a few scenarios. I would like to hear you discuss these and others that may work. And he wanted to trade Iguodala to Minnesota for Al Jefferson, or to Toronto for Turkoglu. Well, I don't necessarily know the salaries, but I know Jefferson, I believe, is a guy who makes a lot of money, and I know Iguodala makes a lot of money. So I think those two contracts could actually even out, and they probably have something there. I guess the thing is, would Minnesota be willing to do something like that? I don't know if they would, but it would be interesting. But I agree with you. I mean, I think the Sixers have to take Evan Turner. Like I said, they need a two-guard. They don't have a two-guard, and they need that. And especially with Doug Collins saying that he believes that Andre Iguodala is a three. He believes that Iguodala is a three. So with that being said, and believing that, you almost believe that they have to go with Evan Turner. They have to go. They have to go with Evan Turner. And if they don't, I think they're making a huge, huge, huge mistake. They're making a mistake if you don't go with Evan Turner in this situation. You have to go with the guy. I mean, like Ambrose said in the email, he's proven. He's proven on a college level that he can score 20 points a game. He's proven that he has a decent all-around game. He averaged 9 boards and 6 assists a game. So he's a guy who's proven that he can do it all. He's a do-it-all type of player. And I heard, like I said earlier, I heard a favorable comparison to a Brandon Roy. And if he's anything like Brandon Roy, then he's going to be a solid, solid pro. He's going to be a solid pro. And you hope that the Sixers will make the right move and the right decision and go with Evan Turner. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, the NBA draft will be on Thursday night. And it's an exciting time. A lot of people expect the Washington Wizards at the first spot to take John Wall. He's a guy that's explosive, reminds some of a Derrick Rose, and he's a guy that many believe will be successful on the next level. And they're planning, I guess, to pair him with Gilbert Arenas, and that should be interesting. I mean, it's definitely going to be a backcourt that's going to score a lot of points. They're going to definitely score a lot of points. But the problem that they may run into is defending. I mean, can Gilbert Arenas defend a two guard? That's going to be questionable. That's going to be questionable. Can he do it? It's going to be questionable. But, again, the Wizards want John Wall, apparently, and they're going to pair him with Gilbert Arenas, apparently. Now, you wonder if they'll move Arenas, or will they try to see if that backcourt will work? And it's similar to a backcourt in Golden State with Monte Ellis and Steph Curry. Again, a backcourt that was explosive. Again, a backcourt that can score a lot of points, but a backcourt that could not defend. And that was a backcourt that definitely could not defend and was a backcourt, again, that could score a lot of points, but they gave up a lot of points. So they're every time they're scoring, they're giving it back, basically. So I don't know if that necessarily will work with Wall and Arenas. But, again, if you're Washington, I guess you have to take Wall in that situation. He's probably the best player in the draft. And a guy who many project to be like a Derrick Rose, and a guy who many project to be a very good player in this league. So we shall see what happens with that. Also, interesting to me, Rasheed Wallace. Apparently, Doc Rivers and had stated on a few occasions that he believes that Game 7 of the NBA Finals was the final game for Rasheed Wallace, and that Rasheed probably will not come back to the NBA. He's expected. Doc believes that he will retire. Rasheed was a guy who struggled with back injuries throughout these NBA Finals, and a guy who played well in his time and had a decent Game 7, who had 11 points and 8 boards. But all in all, it's a guy who had a decent career and a guy who many felt and believed that could have been better. He was a guy many believed that could have been better. And he had the skill set to be better. But he was, I mean, overall, all in all, he won a championship with the Pistons in 2004. And he was a guy, again, who, in my opinion, had a decent career. And he got a ring. He got a ring out of it. So I guess everything is good. But apparently Doc Rivers believes that Rasheed Wallace will retire and will not come back to the Boston Celtics and the NBA. Also today, big Lakers had a big parade, a parade that, quite frankly, I didn't think would happen, a parade I really did not want to happen, but a parade that did happen nonetheless. But, you know, it's Phil Jackson was not there, apparently. He had some doctor's appointments, so he was unable to make it to this big parade. But it was, you know, the typical parade. The Lakers foot the bill for the parade. They paid $2 million. And you wonder, I mean, it's a good thing that these sports franchises are paying for their own parades, especially with the economy being what it is. I mean, these franchises are making a lot of money and have a lot of money, so they should have to pay and foot the bill for these parades, and the Lakers did that. Apparently, it was a good time. A lot of people there celebrating those Los Angeles Lakers. And again, it was a parade that I did not want to see. It was a parade that I did not think would happen. But it's a parade that happened somehow, some way. Well, we all know how. I mean, Kobe Bryant did his thing. Pau Gasol did his thing. And the Lakers, they proved that they were champions. I didn't think they would repeat coming into this year. I really did not. And I'm surprised by them repeating. I just didn't expect it to happen. I really didn't. But they did it. They repeated, and they got their parade, and Kobe got his fifth ring, and it just set off a crazy, crazy, crazy debate about Kobe being better than MJ. And it's a debate that, again, it's not really a debate to me. I mean, is Kobe on Jordan's level? Yes. Yes, he is. But is he better, and will he be better? Nah. I mean, out of five of those titles, three of those titles were with Shaq. And they were with Shaq. So with that being said, you know, Kobe wasn't the best player on his own team for three of those titles. He wasn't the best player on his own team for three of those titles. Shaq was. Shaq was the best player on those teams, on three of Kobe's championships. Now, these last two, I got to give him credit. I got to give the guy credit. He was the best player on those teams, and he led his ball club to a victory and gave him that fifth title. So give him a lot of credit, man. Give him a lot of credit. But don't,
Paul,
be a prisoner of the moment.
Paul,
don't be a prisoner of the moment. Don't get caught up and all that hype.
Paul,
all that craziness. All that craziness. Don't get caught up in that.
Paul,
don't get caught up in that. Because if you do, and if you are, you're a prisoner of the moment. You are a prisoner of the moment. So you need to get out of jail. I'm letting you all out now. I'm letting you all out of jail, all you prisoners of the moment. You are set free. You are set free. I have set you free. Get out. Get out. Hello, you're on Go For It. Hello? Going once? Going twice? Going? Guess the person has a bad cell. Guess we have a bad cell. There. Get that cell phone fixed. Get that cell phone fixed. Get that cell phone right. You can get on the air and we can talk sports and have fun doing it. Numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. goforit.gan@gmail.com. Are you a prisoner of the moment? Are you stuck in that prison of the moment? Are you stuck there? Are you looking? Are you behind those bars, looking, trying to get out, caught up, can't get out? You fell in love 10 times, and each of those 10 times you said you found your soulmate. You fell in love there. You just fell. You're caught up in the trap, caught in the matrix, I guess you want to call it, and somehow, some way, you can't get out. You can't get out.
Paul?
Well, it's time to get set free. It's time to get set free. Get out. 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 Don't be a prisoner. Don't be a prisoner of the moment. Don't get caught up. Get out. You can get out now. You can get out.
Paul.
You can get out now. Don't be a prisoner of the moment. Please don't. And it's funny, I mean, and thinking about this topic and just hearing all this talk, it just made me think about that, being a prisoner of the moment, man, and how right now, again, with all this, we talked about the technology that we have in our world and how the technology sometimes gets us caught up. We see the technology and we see, okay, flashed across the screen this, flashed across the screen that, and then all of a sudden we're just caught up in it. We're just like, wow, that's the greatest thing I ever seen. Or wow, she's the greatest I ever saw. Or wow, that's the greatest play of all time. Or wow, you're the greatest of all time. All these things. We get caught up. It's like saying, okay, oh, A-Rod's a better power hitter ever than Hank Aaron or Barry Bonds is the best player that ever done it. Or all these things we get caught up in. We get caught up in it. But we fail to realize and getting caught
Paul.
Up. Jeremy, you back?
Paul.
Jeremy, I can hear you. Are you on the air?
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes, I can. Jeremy,
you're
good.
I think we were. No, I didn't fall off. I think we were being sabotaged. You know, still bitter about this championship, and you're holding my opinions down.
Well, I guess I'm holding the man down. But it's good to have you back. Jeremy had some tech. We had some technical difficulties with Jeremy's microphone. We had
the heat. Some technical difficulties. You know, it's the heat. You know, you're jealous. I was about to do another Broad Street run.
We had to take care of all that, clean all that up, and now he's back. Good to have you back. Good to hear your voice again. I almost forgot what it sounded like.
I'm sure you really didn't. I mean, you're probably just a little upset, Paul. Paul,
are you a prisoner of the moment?
You
must have been a prisoner of the moment.
Paul?
You got caught up in the moment, didn't you?
Hello?
Yes, you got caught up in the moment.
Paul, now I'm confused. Can you hear me or can you not hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're on.
I'm not caught up in the moment. I mean, I'm disgusted in the moment. And you know, I'm wondering, is it even fair for you to say this, considering, I mean, isn't this what sports is about, is comparing and competing? Weren't you saying that the Celtics are going to be better than the Lakers and isn't that the same thing?
Well,
isn't that what sports is about when a victory like that happens, Kobe's fifth title? I mean, isn't it fair for fans out there to say, you know?
Yeah, but when you get caught up in that moment, you're blinded. You're blinded by all reality. You're just blinded. You got that tunnel vision. You see and you believe that one thing that has flashed across the screen 50 times, that has debated 50 times. That is all those things. But you got to understand something, man. And doing all that, you're losing out and you're missing out on understanding and seeing certain things, seeing the whole picture. Because sometimes we get caught up in that little section of the picture.
But when we open it up and
see the big picture, we start to change our mind and we start to really, really focus and evaluate how we feel.
Let's be honest, Paul. I mean, But then what's the point of watching the game then? I mean, if you don't want to compare a great player in today's world from a great player in yesterday's world, then why watch sports? Isn't that what the whole point of the competition is?
I guess there is an argument. I mean, that is the beauty of sports, comparing eras, comparing people, comparing all types of things. That is the beauty of sports. Yes, I agree with you. But don't get caught up in what you're hearing on TV. Don't get caught up what's flashed across your iPhone. Don't get caught up what's flashed across the screen. Don't get caught up in all those things. Understand the full picture and evaluate the full picture and then make a reasonable and educated decision.
So you're saying it's not reasonable for a person to compare. Let's use Kobe and MJ or, you know, let's use Joe Montana and Tom Brady. That's not a reasonable comparison. Strong arguments can't be made. I mean, we're not talking about Allen Iverson and MJ. We're not talking about, you know, We're not talking about Donovan McNabb and Joe Montana. I mean, we're
what
talking.
What who'd you say?
Donovan McNabb.
Say McNabb. Oh, I'm sorry.
You getting caught up in the moment, Paul?
I got caught up in the moment. I'm sorry. I became a prisoner of the moment. I'm sorry. Continue.
See, I think, and that's, Saving McNabb is a great example of getting caught up in the moment. The player got traded. I mean, that happens every day. People get hired and fired on jobs every day. We're not saving, you're not saving people every day, but we're saving McNabb. That's getting caught up in the moment. Comparing MJ to Kobe.
I guess I'm a prisoner of that particular moment because it's a trade I hate and it's a trade I wish never would have happened. But again, that's life and we move on. We move on. That is life.
I mean, I wonder, Paul, is it that wrong, you know, to compare, as I said, you know, the great players in each year. I don't think there's an argument here that Kobe Bryant is not a great player in his era.
Well, no, Kobe Bryant is a great player. Let's be honest. But
and probably,
you know, I guess an argument could be made, is Kobe the greatest player in this era? I mean, you could argue that Shaq is the greatest player of this era. I mean, he was the most dominant.
But you're getting caught up in the moment. But you know what? You're getting caught up in the moment.
He was the most dominant force in the game of basketball for a long time, and a lot of people believe that they changed the defensive rules, and implemented zones because of Shaq. So, I mean, this is a guy who, in my opinion, was the best player on those Lakers teams for those three championships when he was with Kobe. Kobe wasn't the best player on his team when he was winning three of those championships with Shaq. He wasn't the best player on the team. You cannot say that about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the best player on that Bulls basketball club, hands down. There's no argument there. There's no argument. But you can definitely argue that, and it's a legitimate argument, and it's the truth as far as I'm concerned, that Shaq was the best player on those Laker teams.
But Paul,
not Kobe.
Again, you're going to get me caught up in the moment. I don't want to sit there and compare. I think sometimes, and the argument is valid, that too many times we are comparing, quote, you know, the AIs to the MJs and the McNabs to the Montanas. But it's not wrong to compare.
Wait a minute, let's stop you for a second. You can't make a – I mean, I guess the Kobe Jordan, I guess you can make some logical arguments to say that Kobe will or has surpassed Jordan. But you really couldn't make a logical argument to say that McNabb is better than Joe Montana.
That's my point, Paul. That's my point. But you're proving my point. To me, more that's the norm. That we're hearing, you know, when AI was in quote unquote his prime, that he was, you know, a great point guard. I mean, when you really look at his stats, he wasn't a great point guard. Look, the guy scored
AI scored some points.
I mean,
AI, just like Donovan McNabb.
You want to talk about
ballot Hall of Famer? AI is the first ballot Hall of Famer. Let's not forget that. I mean, let's not forget the things that he did in this league and the things that he accomplished. He's the first Hall of Famer.
But being the first ballot Hall of Famer and being compared to the greatest players in all of your sport is different. Just like with McNabb. I mean, McNabb is a Hall of Famer. He's put up arguably, you know, Hall of Fame numbers or the prototype Hall of Fame numbers for a quarterback.
It's going to be close with McNabb, but I guess when it's all said and done, he probably will have Hall of Fame numbers.
When you add in the fact that he was the mobile quarterback, he certainly really did redefine now that mobile quarterback from doesn't always have to run to a guy that can sit in the pocket and really make things happen, brought his team to four straight NFC championships, he got a Super Bowl appearance, and yet to be written with the Redskins. Arguments are going to be made, certainly, that he's a great quarterback of his era. But, again, and the reason I bring up McNabb is because it's this point of reference where, you know, oh, he's greater than he really is. Saying you're a Hall of Famer to me doesn't mean you're the greatest of even in the era. You're one of many players. If you think of a decade, you know, in a decade, Paul, arguably there's going to be at least, you know, 7, 10 Hall of Famers. So being one of 10 players is, yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a great accomplishment, but it doesn't make you the greatest of all time. It doesn't make you the greatest of your sport.
Well, I guess right now Kobe probably is the best player in the game right now. Hands down, probably.
Yeah, but and again, if we really want to get on to Kobe, you know, I I'm not gonna take anything away from Kobe. I'm not gonna take anything away, you know, certainly from his accomplishments as a player. But I think he also played in a much weaker era than many of the long term greats. I mean, I think he played in an era that really lacked, in terms of his position. Or go ahead. You seem to want to interrupt me more and more.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I mean, let's
I don't want to get caught up in a moment.
Exactly. But you're comparing him to a Michael Jordan who started playing in the year with Magic and Bird and Charles Barkley and Hakeem Olajuwon. It was just talent laden. You know, Clyde Drexler. People forget. You know, Clyde Drexler. He's so, you know, in my opinion, in the annals of basketball, it's almost as if he didn't play and he wasn't a dominant force. He was on the dream team. You know, but when you look at the era in which Kobe played from, I mean, there's dominant players, certainly. Tim Duncan, Shaq. But again, you really can't compare Tim Duncan and Shaq to Kobe Bryant. Totally different styles
LeBron
of play.
James.
When you, Paul, LeBron James has been playing for 4 or 5 years. I mean, they're really
years,
not...
7 years.
Been in the league, but I said he's playing. I said he's playing, Paul. I mean, been in the league and playing are two different things. Kevin Ollie's been in the league for what, 8 years, Paul? I mean, come on. I mean, we're going to talk about how long he's been in the league.
Well, I mean, you're dismissing what LeBron James has done. I mean, he's won the MVP.
He's won the NBA two times in what, the last 4 years? And that's my point.
Back-to-back.
Well, right, but he's been a point of reference really in the last 4 to 5 years. So, you know, the first 2 years in the league, he was certainly an up-and-coming player, but he was certainly not where he is today. And that's my point. You know, in Kobe's prime, there were certainly great players. Allen Iverson. I mean, he played against good players, but I don't see this era of basketball when you compare it to the early 90s era of basketball, the year that Jordan was just dominant in. And like you said, you know, as I was listening when we were having some difficulties, and I agree with you. You know, Jordan, when he got into the finals, we never went to seven games.
He didn't need to. He was that great. And I said before, man, I was not a big MJ guy growing up. He used to kill the Sixers, and I hated him for that. But I can't dismiss greatness, and I have to recognize greatness, and greatness is Michael Jordan. Hello, you're on. Go for it.
Yeah, I got a call, and I got to get something off my chest. I'm sick and tired of hearing about how Kobe is better than Michael Jordan. It's preposterous.
It's preposterous. It's outlandish. It's downright crazy. If you ask me,
it most certainly is. And you know what else?
Call the show. I guess you are asking me.
you're talking a lot of English.
I noticed that Terrell Owens is in a commercial, but he doesn't have a football team. I wanted to get your take on that.
Oh well, let's go back to Kobe and Michael Jordan. We'll get to T.O. in a second. You are right. This talk is. It's individuals who have gotten behind some bars and looking at their phone and watching SportsCenter and saying all these crazy, getting caught up in the moment, unfortunately they're held behind some bars, their hands are on the bars and they're looking at their screen and they're making all these crazy comments that Kobe is better than Jordan. And they're watching the NBA Finals. They're seeing Kobe jumping around and seeing Kobe with the trophies and all that. And they're making all these comments, these preposterous, outlandish comments that somehow Kobe is better than MJ. Get out of that. Get out of your prison.
Did you watch Game
Don't
7,
get caught up
Mr.
in the moment.
Did you watch Game 7?
What I
watched
Game
7. What
performance
did Kobe have in Game 7?
It was a horrible performance, 6 for 24. Not MJ-like at all.
Not for a game seven clutch time.
No, not at all. You're right, and you're basically preaching to the choir here.
Isn't that what separates the elite from the great and the good? It's clutch
right.
time.
It's when
the money's on the table.
Well, Kobe is a money and a clutch player, and he's the greatest closer in the game today, right now. He's the greatest closer in the game.
Agreed.
He's like Mariano Rivera. I mean, he's the greatest closer in the game. There's not one person I would have shooting the last shot other than Kobe Bryant. That's the guy I would pick. He's the guy I would pick. If I had one final shot, I would go with Kobe Bryant, no doubt. So, again, you're preaching to the choir here. Now with T.O., you're right, T.O., switching gears to football, T.O. does and should be on the NFL roster, but it's probably going to happen sometime during training camp, maybe an injury to a team's wide receiver. That's when a team will probably bring in T.O. I mean, T.O. didn't have T.O.-like numbers last year, but he was playing with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Trent Edwards. Those were his quarterbacks in Buffalo. So you'll see. We'll see what
sure.
happens with T.O. But hey, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting, Paul. You know, we look at the T.O. signing and we think about, you know, eight more weeks until football, and we start talking probably inching closer to the talk of the camps and the injury reports and the teams. It does make me wane, because you were saying, we were talking right before the show, you know, getting caught up in the moment, and this is the next 6-8 weeks, getting caught up in the moment of NBA free agency. Where's LeBron going to go? It's a nice little tie-in, because certainly everyone yearns for football, and now I think over the next 2 to 4 weeks, we're certainly going to yearn to see, oh, where's Kobe going?
Kobe's staying in LA.
Not Kobe. Come on, tough guy. Hey, I'm about to get my marching shoes back on. It's interesting because of the free agency. We talked about the summit. We've been the last 2 to 4 weeks talking about the free agent summit and how, you know, everyone was getting caught up in, oh, you know, Kobe and Dwayne Wade may sign on the same team. Like, that would ever happen. I mean, like, or it'll be, you know.
It's basically, let's not call it the free agent summit. Let's call it the boys' mind summit. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Let's call it that. Let's call it what it is. It's a bunch of people fighting over who wants what and who wants who. So, I mean, let's call it what it is. Would you agree with that?
No, I do. I mean, that's why I felt like, you know, I was at service. You know, I'm letting you preach. I mean, because you're preaching right to the choir. I was about to start singing, you know, go for it.
Amen.
You know, it's certainly interesting I'm going to keep my eyes and ears peeled to see how everyone does get caught up in the moment for the next couple of weeks here, and watch how the free agency works and to see, you know, what happens.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, definitely. I mean, it's probably the greatest free agent class in NBA history. I mean, you got arguably the top, you know, you got two of the top five players arguably in the game in LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, who are free agents. And then you got guys like Dirk Nowitzki, who can opt out of his contract. You got a guy like Paul Pierce, who can opt out of his contract. And then you got Amari Stoudemire, who can also opt out of his contract. So you got a lot of individuals there who can, who's making up this great 2010 free agent class. And I said it before, man, this is great for the NBA, because now people are paying attention to your league when your league is not even playing. So this is great publicity for the NBA, and it's great. It's like free agency in the NFL. That was one of the reasons that the NFL is what the NFL is today, because the NFL has become a 12-month sport. You're paying attention to the NFL at all times. At all times, you're paying attention to the NFL. And mainly that's because of free agency. And I think in a lot of ways this will be good for the NBA. And it's good for your league. I mean, I know David Stern had stated that he doesn't think it is good for his league. But it's good for your league, David, because people are paying attention when they wouldn't be paying attention.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think that take a page from the NFL. I mean, I think as much as Roger Goodell likes to talk – not exactly like talk about all the off the field issues with the players. I mean, any publicity, anytime your league is being mentioned, people are talking about you, and especially now this is an issue where it's certainly for the NBA is a positive highlight. Everyone wants to see where he's going to go.
It's I mean, he was on Larry King. He's been everywhere right now, and, you know. The funny part is you have arguably the best player in your league who's a free agent. I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. That doesn't happen very often. And like I said before, I mean, like I said, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, arguably two of the top five players in the league who are free agents. That's amazing, and that's exciting. And we'll see what happens with the all. We'll see.
We have a couple minutes left, Paul. Before we go, I'm going to, because I'm the local guy here, I want to get, and we're going to start transitioning little by little. I mean, I'm worried about these Phillies, and I hope, you know, Saturday and certainly in the next week we get a chance to spend a little bit of time and help me calm down because, you know, the prognosticator that I am, you know, I think the fans out there, the listeners out there, I owe it to them, you know, to calm myself down. Should I be concerned, you know, about these Phillies?
Well, slightly concerned. But, I mean, as I look at the standings now, they're 5.5 games back. I mean, Atlanta's been on a roll. Will they continue with that? Who knows? I mean, they've been 8-2. Atlanta's been 8-2 in the last 10 games. I mean, they're 24-7 at home. I mean, they've been playing. They've won 5 in a row. They've been playing some great baseball. And the Mets have been playing some great baseball as well. I mean, they've been 8-2 in the last 10. So, again, you got two teams in their division who are playing great baseball. The Phillies are not playing great baseball right now. I mean, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Twins. They probably should have won 2 out of 3. They lost that crazy game on Saturday night. But, again, it's still early. It's still early. Jimmy Rollins will be back shortly. So you got him back in the mix. And you hope now with all these guys back, with Rollins back and Lidge back, who struggled on Saturday, but who has pitched well when he's pitched. So you hope now that they'll get it done. I mean, you have the best lineup arguably in baseball. You have the best pitcher arguably in baseball in Roy Halladay. And Cole Hamels has been pitching well. You're getting some solid starts out of Kyle Kendrick and Jamie Moyer recently. And Joe Blanton gave you a decent start Friday night. So you hope now that they'll get this all together and get this thing right. But, again, they're only 5.5 back. They're still in the mix. And they played some bad baseball. Let's be honest. They played some bad baseball recently. But they're getting it right. And hopefully this team, and I think they will. Don't panic yet. Be concerned, but don't panic. Be a little nervous, but don't panic. But I think they'll get this thing right. Let's hope. Would you agree?
Oh, no. I mean, I think, as I said, Paul, my fear for this team, and you had hit on it, is the pitching. I think there definitely needs to be, I think, closer and closer to the trade deadline. They really better remember what got them and propelled them into the World Series last year, you know, and the World Series year before that, is picking up some quality players, and I think this year it certainly must be. And, you know, they don't need the hitters. I don't think any even though they're slumping, they slumped last year, they slumped the year before that, but they definitely need to see more production out of these pitchers. And I get concerned only because, you know, 2 years in a row, I think maybe this team come, and we'll get into this later in the upcoming weeks, is you know, do teams that have had success, do they expect to have the same success? And I wonder if that's what happened to the Philadelphia Phillies.
And we'll see. We got about 30 seconds left in the show. We'll see what happens. And I think they will get it right. We want to thank everybody who called, everybody who joined in. I know yesterday was Father's Day, but this past week, last week, my wife, she had a gave birth to a child. And it was my child, thank God. But I want to give credit to a lot of women out here who have babies. It's a tough thing, and I didn't realize how tough it was until last week. So I want to thank my wife, And I want to thank everybody who listened. And again, go for it. And thanks for joining the show. Bye.